The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
Take America back. 1 minute. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this first day of February, folks. Where's the time going when we're having so much fun? 2017. We got calls backed up here. Let me take PJ Barden from over there in Wales, the Barden Report, on this very network. Hello, PJ.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Eddie. Jolly old, I understand that joke. The last time we were jolly here was a long time ago. But I appreciate that, Eddie, there you're very good on the constitutional matters, as is John Stadtmiller. I wouldn't attempt to thing, and I'm not trying to attack you per se, but I've done a lot of work on the TPP. You're slightly, I'd accuse you of doing a glib description of it. That's as far as I go on you, but I'll tell you why. At the very center of the TPP is a thing called the ISDS tribunals, the Investor State Dispute Settlement System, right? Very fancy title. But that's a commercial corporate court that has been given the power, okay, America have opted out of it, but only America, to settle all disputes over trade between corporations or people in any country complaining about the issues. And that's operating now. It's up and operating in certain countries, right? And it's an insidious part of it.
I would agree with that, but we have basically the same concept in the form of the UN. What you're talking about, the center of that agreement, is basically a commercial UN.
Oh, yeah, good on you. You got that right. The UN are behind the TPP 100%, and it's the commercial embodiment of it. It's a monster, being the monster child of the UN. But it's a vicious thing, and we'll have to see what that executive order really means. I'm writing down book on cashless side, nearly finished, but I'm glad I didn't finish, because I have to rewrite a lot of it now because the ground has changed positively. But it's only America opting out of it. TPP, I believe, will continue either in the same name or other names. That's the only point I want to make.
PJ, I just wanted to cover something because you texted me earlier today. Donald Trump has met with Theresa May. We don't know what was said behind closed doors, but there was an indication that well over in England, they weren't really happy with the Brexit. And they were trying to jam this thing up by a parliamentary procedure. What has transpired here?
Well, just because it was taken to two individuals took a case to the Supreme Court, which is a new entity here. We only have a Supreme Court for a few years, usually the House of Lords before that. And they threw a spanner temporarily in the government's procedure to go to activating Article 50 on the 31st of March, meaning that Parliament had to be consulted at all levels. So they published a bill, and it's voted on now, and the Labour Party had to support it because they were ashamed to do it by their own electorate. So today it went through Parliament, and it was passed by, pull the pages back here, 498 to 114 votes, I think it was. So it's straight ahead now to activating Article 50 to withdraw the European Union. But as I said in that text to you, it'll be a bloodbath. Yeah. It really will.
Yeah. And one other thing before I let you go here, PJ. Mm-hmm. And by the way, before I forget here, PJ Barden, the Barden Report, is on Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., which is actually what time over there?
Oh, it's 2 p.m. here, but everybody's asleep. It's I won't go into that with you. 7 a.m. Mountain, 6 a.m. Pacific. And I knocked the living hell out of California, but they probably don't hear me at that time. Anyway.
Oh, no, because you're 9 to 11 Eastern. And programming, and this is when people have, and this is what I explained to you before, people go to work. If this is a work day, no. I could understand you complaining about that time slot, but this is a Saturday morning, and a lot of people, what I've gotten back, while they're making their breakfast or getting ready for their day, they have P.J. Barton turned on. So,
right.
One other thing.
Who bribed you to say that? God,
I forget the amount of money that I was paid, but it was a sizable sum. No, one other thing I wanted to ask you about is, have you seen what think of her name here, Le Pen, has said in a recent, and she gave a speech in Germany. Have you seen that one?
I've seen it. I follow her all the time, yep.
Okay, what do you think of her?
Oh, she's improving a lot. She's improving a lot. And the situation in France, that's coming up now in 8 weeks' time, 10 weeks, you know, just about 8-10 weeks' time. She's improving, and she's giving very moderate speeches, because she has a lot to live down due to her father, obviously. But she's making ground. It'll be what happens in France is, unless you win it outright at 51%, there's a runoff. And she'll get into the runoff, it looks, with Fillon. But Fillon won't be a bad second choice. But then what happens in the runoff election a week later is that the left will vote for the least right-wing candidate. But the joke of it is, this is what's not known in America, if you want to do this in your program sometime, I'll do it. Le Pen is very conservative on immigration, but everything else, she's a hardcore socialist. Most people don't know that.
Well, and it was kind of strange, because I noticed in that speech she gave in Germany just recently that she was talking about the global order of things, and that nation-state is most important, and she is now an advocate of pulling out of the European Union. Now, understanding, PJ, that France has always been a socialist nation, this is a milestone, in my opinion.
I'll give you another one. She went to see Trump in Trump Tower as well, by the way. That was hushed up. She was spotted and photographed there during the one time, very carefully. Nobody recognized her, because they were so hell-bent on attacking Trump. But the other thing is, just briefly, there was that group that got together there, Frock Petri. Watch out for her, Frock Petri, the alternative for Germany, very smart young woman. They'll do very well in the German elections, which are in September. And it'd be far smarter for Trump to come here after that date. That's the one thing that Theresa May had a very successful visit there, blah, blah, blah. But they shouldn't have mentioned, they didn't name a time for the visit, but that should not happen until October, until the German and French elections occur, because that affects NATO and everything else, you know, and the Brexit.
And I think what, as I mentioned here with Eddie earlier, you've been obviously listening to the program, is that these trade deals are going to be renegotiated, just like England is going to renegotiate with the what is left of the European Union, or going country by country, France, Germany, whatever, the way it used to be. I don't think this is going to be any great economic shakeup, so to speak, as long as people are geared toward, we're going back to nation-state status with our own money. Thank you very much, European Union. We've seen that you're an absolute disaster with bureaucrats you don't get to elect. And, well, hell, look what they did to England.
And all these Eastern European elections are coming up as well this next year as well. So it's going to be fun, 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 as Sergeant Bilko used to say.
There you go. Well, thank you, PJ. I appreciate your call,
okay.
Sir.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Bye. Right. It's like, Ed, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning over there right now. The time differences, it still blows me away.
Yeah.
Let's continue with the calls here. John in Michigan. Thanks for holding, John.
Good evening.
Hi.
Let me get the volume up. I agree with you, John, with pulling out of TPP. Trump said that he will negotiate one-on-one. So I think that would be the best advantage to our country to have that happen instead of having some other dictate.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And then also with the 13th Amendment, in 1789 it was proposed, and that didn't go through at the time. And then in 1810 it came up again, and the House resolved to affirmative 87-3. and it was sent to the states, and then it supposedly they didn't get ratified, but it's recently it's been determined that it has, because they created the or the war came into play, and the records were destroyed. And I remember one time hearing that the last place that it was seen in the Constitution was the 1868 printing of the Constitution, and then again right after that, of course, we got our new corporate act of 1871, where the Rothschilds came in and changed everything. And I think that's where we have to go to, where things started going down south. You know, and that's not the, the Confederacy that was going down south for our rights, is when the Act of 1871. I don't know if your guest knows of that, but I think that's a very important time that when the Rothschilds got their hands on us.
Eddie, any comment there?
Yeah, when we went into fractional reserve banking and central banks, that was one of the reasons why Andrew Jackson's considered the last honest president. The last thing he accomplished as president before his death was to get rid of the centralized banks. And that's what he said on his deathbed: I killed the banks. And he knew what a danger they were to this country. And to go hand in hand with the issue I have with attorneys, we have double the problem when the attorney is also a knowledgeable banker.
Mm. Oh, and that's a great point. And also, one other thing I just learned, too, that Trump's sister is a judge. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I was not aware of that.
But all of that can be changed, because I'm sure he understands the fraud. He's playing the game inside the arena right now and doing very well, I think, at trying to get the borders, you know, broken down depending upon the, you know, the availability at the time. And he doesn't have his cabinet in yet, and I believe that once that is established, we might see things eventually down the road with the new information. I heard a gentleman today talk, and he talked about state citizenship and had some really good information that I thought was valid, and that it would be someone that you might, I'll just send the information along to you, John, and you might want to get him on to explain what he has to say.
I have, as you know, John, I have spent many years interviewing people. I've gone toe-to-toe with individuals, and part of the problem that I see, Eddie, is we have researchers, good people, well-intentioned, and they know what they know, and they'll get in an absolute catfight with other people that say that their information is incorrect, as if to disavow all of what they do over a silly little point. And I have seen people literally destroy themselves or organizations they have put together. And, you know, nothing is perfect in this world. Not everybody sees the things that I see the same way. My God, it'd be a really boring world if it was made up of all Eddie Craigs or John Stadtmiller, so that's for sure. Yeah, do me a favor, John. Send that information over to me.
So for your audience, it's statecitizenship.org. And I listen to a lot of different people, too. I love Ralph Winterround, and as long as we get the in the direction, and this gentleman seemed to have something that was, I thought, of valid information.
Well, and you know, the one thing that we've never had the inclination or the time to displace people and the needs for income, there has never been, say, a foundation that's put together that's all that the researchers do. They get together, they research their information, they compare their notes, and they vet this stuff out. It's never been done before. And in my estimation, that's what needed to be done when people were talking about this 15, 20 years ago. But it's never happened. We've all operated in our own singular orbits. And every once in a while, we come into the gravitational pull of somebody else's. And if it's too close, well, we end up destroying each other. At any rate, John, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, John. And it's we have someone in Washington that at least is a shining light, at least, to where we might be able to get some things done.
Well, and as I said, at least slow their roll enough that we can get together in our states and do what has to be done.
Amen.
All right. Thanks,
John. God
bless
you both.
Appreciate it very much. Boy, that was loud. Isaac in Pennsylvania. Hello, Isaac.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, hello, John.
Hi.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I read the Constitution. I've got several different editions of it. And, you know, I've got some questions. You know, Article 1, Section 8, the 18th Clause. They gave themselves power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. That's pretty wide open, isn't it? I got a better one for you. Article 3, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. Now, are you trying to tell me that these men, who obviously were intelligent, well-educated, they couldn't separate out foreign interstate commerce from domestic interstate commerce if they intended the states to be sovereign states in the first place?
Well, and they made provisions for that. Intrastate or what's the other one, Eddie, that I've I can't recall?
Inter and intra.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, well, intrastate would be, yeah, but you have to have a sovereign state in the first place. Now, well, let me ask you a simpler question.
You have to understand, first off, what they meant by regulate. Regulate is not what the government is doing. Interfere with is what the government is doing. The power to regulate was the power to make regular. In other words, the federal government had the power to sanction a state for attempting to do the very things the Constitution prohibited even the state from doing, because that power was either A, given to the federal government, or B, was unconstitutional on its face. No state could make an agreement with another state to hoard particular products that only those states produced in order to drive the prices up and thus increase the economy within the state at the expense of everyone else. Congress was given the power to regulate such activity so that no state could monopolize any market or any product, so that it could not band together against the other states for its own profit. It was never meant to reach within the state and take control of companies. Mm-hmm. It was never meant to reach within the state and price fix, and so on and so forth. That's
okay,
part of the biggest problem with the understanding of regulate.
Simple question for Eddie. Did the people of the states vote to ratify the Constitution that was ratified in 1788? Did the people of the states vote for it?
That's exactly a point that I was making earlier with the Articles of Confederation, where all of the colonies had to be in unanimous consent, which at the time the colonies would have had to have gone to.
Isaac, do me a favor. Please let the man respond. I will give you as much time as necessary for you to make your points. Please do not interrupt him. Continue.
If I asked a question, he wouldn't answer it. Go ahead.
I'm trying to answer it, I think.
Go ahead.
The Articles of Confederation, like I said, required unanimous consent. For them to make the changes they did with the Constitution, they would have had that from each colony. Each colony, in turn, would have had to have gone to the people that were there to get the approval of the people as a whole by general consensus to allow them to vote yes to that constitutional acceptance. They didn't do that. So the answer to your question is no, the people didn't vote on it, because they didn't, as they were supposed to, take those issues back and get unanimous approval from the colonies to make the change.
Okay, Isaac?
Okay, well, I was just going to say the people did vote in one state, Rhode Island. They turned it down 11 to 1.
Right. That's the reason I was saying there was not unanimous consent.
Yeah, I understand we're just mixing issues here. Look, you know, John, when I called you up one time, you had Peter Neese on, and I read Article 1, Section 9, Clause 2, where it's written, the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended. And I asked him, why did they write it that way? And he said, well, I don't really know. Well, the reason why is because this is all a bunch of Masonic nonsense. The people did not vote for the Constitution. It was imposed on them by force. You have to understand mercantilism, the Bank of England, extreme debt that England was in 20 years after the 1694 Bank of England. You have to understand the East India Trading Company. I mean, you cannot, if you even go back to Article 1, Section 8, 17, You tell me what this means.
Hang on one second. Hang on one second, Isaac. I've got a break. 3 minutes. We'll be back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
To find in the morning papers, it's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
And the color girls sing hello. Okay, we're back. Isaac, do I still have you there?
I'm here.
Okay. You wanted to make another point, sir?
Well, just one. I mean, when you had on John Whitehead from the Rutherford, you know, and his pocket constitution, he left off a couple of the, two of them, I'll just go through two. He left off 1819 Supreme Court case, McCulloch versus Maryland. That's where they established implied powers. In other words, we can do anything we want. Anyway, but here's the key, because, you know, I know you've got other callers. If you just research this case, it's a U.S. Supreme Court 1833 case called Barron versus Baltimore. And that will prove to you absolutely that we, the people, were not the people of the states. You see, the preamble is just a bunch of nonsense. It didn't have anything to do with you or me or anybody else in the states. I can run down the case in a couple minutes if you'd like me to.
No, not at this point, because we've only got about 30 minutes left in this program.
Okay, well, read Barron versus Baltimore, and you'll see that everything you're told about the Constitution being the freedom for the people, and it didn't even apply to the people in the first place.
Okay, well, Isaac, then why does each state have its own constitution?
Oh, yeah, well, how many constitutions do they have, John? Georgia has 9. It's changed 9 times. How come they were forced to change their state constitutions as soon as the 1788 Constitution for or of, whichever you want to believe, the United States was passed? Why did they force that? Why did they force Rhode Island under threat of embargo by George Washington when the people turned it down, the only state that voted for it, that he forced it to go to legislature and it only passed by a vote of 34-32?
You know, Isaac, I still stand by my institute that the people that want to vet this thing out and come to an agreement as to what happened, when, and why it happened, I think a foundation is more than necessary. Because
okay, well, I'll just let you go. Let's just read the Treaty of Paris, 1783. That'll tell you a lot right in the preamble.
All right.
King George III declared himself to be the Prince Elector of the Holy Roman Empire, Arch-Treasurer, and of the United States. In other words, the land never was colonial to anybody in America. It's still under the Crown Temple, because King George was part of the Crown Temple. But the Crown Temple was the bankers.
Yeah, but we kind of shot up his army and his ships and everything else, so why would what he declared matter to us at all?
Okay, well, if they won the war, then why were they obligated to pay the debt to England for the loans made through France? Because he was also the King of France at the time. Yes, King George III was the King of France. Remember the Seven-Year War?
I'm still not getting your point about what that has to do with the lands in this country.
Well, you're going on to this, we won this thing. No, they didn't. There were armed troops. They never disarmed the British soldiers. In 1794, they were still armed. There was no winning of any Revolutionary War. This is a Masonic fiction. You don't
okay.
see the grass.
And your evidence of the assertion you're making is what?
Well, like I just said, read the Treaty of Paris, 1783.
Paris is not evidence that the English soldiers weren't disarmed or that we hadn't won the war. What are you using that as evidence of is my point.
Oh,
you stated it as evidence of what the king declared he was doing.
Look, if
that
you
doesn't necessarily
done your study,
mean
you know,
he did
you can
it.
Go to the,
All right.
You can go to the Whiskey Rebellion. You can go to Shay's Rebellion. Shay's Rebellion in 1786, Whiskey Rebellion.
You know, Isaac, let me stop you right here, because I got to leave you go. But look, this is evidence of my statement of why we have not progressed beyond where we're at right now. Because we're more than willing to discount other people, their opinions, their views, and that's perfectly within your realm to do so. By your position, your viewpoint of this, your study, what you have amassed here to support whatever position you hold, this is why we've not gone any further than we are right now. Still talking about the problems that we're experiencing in this country. You're right. Eddie's wrong, or I'm wrong, and you're right, and here we are.
Wrong.
Yeah? That's it? He hung up. Okay. We'll break, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Good light here. All right, this is Eddie Craig. Eddie, can you just go ahead and tell all the viewers what they should say to police when the cops stop them?
Okay, as long as you're on foot or just walking around downtown or something, there's some basic things you need to understand about your rights when it comes to talking to the police. My recommended set of questions to the officers are very simple. The first one should be, am I under arrest? The second question should be, am I free to go? You should not be able to get the same answer to both of those questions. The courts have made it clear that you're in a custodial arrest once a reasonable individual feels they cannot leave the scene of their own volition. Once you've established that fact with the officer, then you follow it up with, since I cannot leave of my own volition, I must presume that I am under a custodial arrest, and I hereby invoke my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent and my right to assistance of counsel. At which point the officer may attempt to continue his interrogation of you or threaten you with arrest if you won't answer the question. So just be aware of that possibility and then follow that up immediately with, I have invoked my right to remain silent and my right to assistance of counsel. Do you intend to punish me for invoking those protected rights? That will document it for the record that the officer is actually attempting to violate your rights or compel you to do so in order to give himself an advantage over you later. Don't allow that to happen. Once you've invoked your rights, stand on them.
Thank you.
And what are the three?
And that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was down on 6th Street about 4 or 5 years ago, wasn't it, Eddie?
Yeah, actually, it was out behind Brave New Books there one night while they were getting ready to go out on the Peaceful Streets project and videotape the Austin Police Department.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because Brave New Books, you're down there every Sunday afternoon, correct?
Yes.
And what classes do you hold down there?
I teach a legal due process class from 2 to 5 p.m. at Brave New Books on how to go to court and handle your court case without the assistance of an attorney who isn't really there to help you. They're just there to help themselves. The first class is free, and it's $20 for each class thereafter.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that very much. Joel, thanks for holding. You've been there forever. Hello, Joel.
If I understood Eddie correctly, he said that the Constitution is a contract between the federal government and the states and didn't affect we the people. Did I understand you correctly?
No, I never said it was a contract. I said that the power to establish it had to come from the people through the states, the political body of the states. If you want to look at what it actually is, it's the best description of it is a covenant between the people through their political body as a state and the political body of the federal government. Here's the powers we're giving you. Here are the things we forbid you to do.
Hello, Mr. Callis. Right. Do you have a tax?
When it refers to we the people, it's absolutely talking about we the people. Like in the Second Amendment, it says right of the people to keep and bear arms. It's talking about we the people, like it says on the cover, we the people.
If I was going to accept it as something that would be governing my government, I would have to say that that would have to mean me.
Right. That's what I thought. Because I was misunderstanding you, because some people say that it's not between, it doesn't affect we the people. But it says it so many times in here, and it is the rules of the land, the law of the land, and if it says it, and I want to believe it, and it's been held up for that many years as the rules of the land, then I just want that straight. If it talks about we the people,
there's several things that people, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tromp on you there. There's several things, in my opinion, that people misinterpret about it. For instance, when it says to the states or the people,
well,
who are the states? They are the people, period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It wasn't one single group of men that were the sole collection of the people in its entirety. That would be ludicrous. None of the colonies would have voted for that if they understood that to be the case. None of them.
Right. I agree with that. And if it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, who are they talking about there as we the people?
Yeah, exactly. Who would be making a union? Just the founding fathers themselves without the benefit of the rest of us and our support?
Right.
That makes no sense to me.
Well, I must have misunderstood you, because I guess we more or less agree. Okay, you got some more callers.
All right. Well, Joel, I appreciate the call.
Okay.
Now, John, if I may real quick, I'd like to interject something here that we haven't got to talk about yet. But I also have a documentary movie that I'm in that's coming out here sometime early this year. And you can check that out at grandscammovie.com. And in that movie, there's a lot of good people there with a lot of knowledge and information, and the things we're discussing is not only the problems we have and how we got them, who's responsible for them, but also some of the ways that we could get together and solve those problems.
And that,
so it might be worth checking out.
And that web address again is?
GrandScamMovie.com.
Okay. And I understand you're a former deputy sheriff?
Yes, 14 years, United States Air Force, and the next deputy sheriff.
I'll be doggone. I was not aware of that. And you're helping people with the badged ones. And I refer to them as simply as this, the corporate Keystone Coffer Cops.
Just call them what they are at the federal level, revenueers.
Revenueers, there you go. All righty. Thank you, Joel. I appreciate your call. Wayne in Colorado. Hello, Wayne.
Yes, great program, John, and you've got some great callers that have done homework.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to speak towards the 13th Amendment. I just want to run some things by you that I had learned and want to know if there's any validity to it. What I had learned, and whether it's any good or not, is after the Civil War, the United States government was formed in D.C., became the U.S. government, and was incorporated at that time and they adopted a constitution, of course, as the 13 colonies without the 13th Amendment. And they only had jurisdiction over D.C. and U.S. territories. And after everyone became a U.S. citizen by getting a U.S. beginning a Social Security card and number, they passed the Buck Act that gave them the authority to rule over all those U.S. citizens in the states. And I wonder if both of you could speak to that and share any light on it.
Well, if I may, where are you getting your definition of U.S. citizen?
U.S. citizen would be anyone that became a citizen.
No. I'm not asking you what you think is. I'm asking you where you got your specific definition of U.S. citizen.
That I can't tell you. It's been so many years. I've read so many different things, and that's just why I'm calling it.
Yeah, let me give you an example of why I ask. How many different definitions of United States are there in federal law?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or at least 26.
26.
Depending upon the context in which it's being used.
Yeah.
There are at least 26 different defined definitions of United States. So when you say United States citizen, you've got at least 26 different possibilities as to being a citizen of what?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if there's any distinction between, in the beginning, between a citizen of the United States of America or a U.S. citizen of the corporate government of the United States.
That would depend upon which definition you're drawing each of them from.
Yeah, right, okay. Well, I was just curious how that shed light on the 13th Amendment, and that's what I had studied some years ago, where that's how the 13th Amendment disappeared. Because it was a different constitution for the U.S. versus the USA.
You know what? Go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say, if you remember a few years ago, that this period film was done on Lincoln. And half of that movie, Eddie, was his lower echelon people around him going, Mr. President, we've got to have a 13th Amendment. And this whole Steven Spielberg exercise was to convince people that it was about slavery, when the original 13th Amendment had not a damn thing to do about slavery. It had to do with who occupied the offices and what their bona fides should or should not be. And one of them was that you can't be a barrister or a lawyer, an attorney, a word twister, whatever. And
well,
you can't, and
technically, it's you cannot have a title of nobility. Okay.
Yeah.
And we've attached that to Esquire as being a title of nobility. But does anyone actually know what an Esquire was in England?
Actually, their system is a little bit different. In order to bring a case in court, you had two different individuals. You had the researcher, and then he'd hand that information off to the person that actually represented you in court.
Yeah, but see, that's still something different. The original use of Esquire was an apprentice to a knight. It was the knight's servant. That's what an Esquire is.
That I did not know.
It wasn't the knight, the one who had the title of nobility. It was those who served him. Those who were practicing and learning to become a knight.
Is this why they say that these attorneys are all practicing attorneys?
Bingo. Now you got the general idea.
Yeah.
They are always practicing law, but they're never getting to where they want to be, except for the lined pocket part.
Yeah. All right. Wayne, anything else, sir?
Just want to know if you can shed any light on the Buck Act and what it was for. I heard it was, I think it was passed in the early 40s.
I've read the Buck Act and the exponent. Let me just leave it to you like this.
Okay.
What was said about it a moment ago is not at all what I understood from reading it.
Okay.
At all. Anymore, I mean, a lot of people are trying to use it to say the Buck Act is why the government can't regulate the Second Amendment and blah, blah, blah. That's not the case. The Second Amendment is why they can't regulate the Second Amendment.
Right.
Okay? I mean, we're back to the idea of the guy at the ATM. You don't need any of these theories to be criminal in what you do. You don't need someone to agree with you to be a criminal. You don't need someone to write a law to make it okay for you to be a criminal. If you're going to be a criminal, you're going to be a criminal. Doesn't matter what job you're in. And that right there is the part that we've got in America right now, is we are completely controlled by criminals who are protected by the other criminals. That's the part we have to stop.
Right.
We know the law doesn't help us because they don't follow the law themselves, nor do they allow us to use it to protect ourselves from them. So the problem isn't the law. It's those we put in power to do the job correctly who won't do it.
Well, I wish I could be there to take some of your classes. But anyway, that's, I really appreciate the help. And I've just, through the years, there's been so many people out there with information, and all they've been doing is copying from each other. Nobody's done any homework.
And here again, and Eddie, I hope you understand and appreciate my statement about, you know, the better minds need to sit down. And they don't get to go. They don't get to go home. This is going to be their full time. They need to be compensated. Nobody can live on bread and water and air. We live in a world that it takes, quote unquote, money to live. And I swear, folks, I swear to God, you know, if I ever hit the damn lottery, you know, I'm not going to just retire and go live out my days in a lap of luxury. I'm going to take that money and put it to use. I will do that foundation. I swear by Almighty Jesus, I will.
Yeah.
All right. Wayne, I appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you.
All right. And by the way, folks, and again, how do people find your show on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, Eddie?
They can go to logosradionetwork.com and click on the listen link at the top of the page, and then just click on the link that follows that, and they can pipe the stream directly into their computer, their cell phone, or whatever it is they're listening to that'll connect to the internet. And if they happen to be in the Austin area, we've moved from 90.1 to 89.1. We don't have a large coverage area on the radio part of it, but we can be picked up in quite a few places.
Yeah, I remember at one time Republic Broadcasting used to play in Austin, but politics got involved.
Yeah.
Logos Radio, spelled L-O-G-O-S, radionetwork.com.
Right.
Very good. Tim in Wyoming. Hello, Tim.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, first of all, since you're in the Great White North there, what's the temperature?
Yeah. Temperature outside, I think it's around 13 degrees.
Oh, geez. I hate to tell you, Tim, 80 degrees under sunny skies with minimal chemtrails.
Oh, well, we get chemtrails even with the snow clouds here, so it's...
Yeah, but down here today, you wouldn't die of exposure if you took your clothes off.
Well, that's true. Yeah. you wouldn't last too long and basically bare naked here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I wanted to mention, your guest here has actually mentioned, I wanted to ask directly, actually, what was the 13th Amendment, but then your last caller mentioned how no one is supposed to have a title of nobility. In fact, I had the page in my declaration or my constitution here, and I was just looking at it. Now I can't find it again, but it said that no one was supposed to have a title of nobility or emolument or to receive gifts, and almost every single elected representative has done that. I mean, When a person who becomes president of the United States of America takes a gift from another country, I mean, they're supposed to give it to the people. I guess that's what they're supposed to do. They're accepting it on behalf of the people. But right. Of course, if you leave the White House and take it with you, then it doesn't really count. But
what you're reading is actually in the Constitution. The 13th Amendment is the other half of it. Notice that in what you read, there is no punitive sanction for violating that provision of the Constitution. That's what the 13th Amendment was meant to do. It provided punitive punishment for violating that. And the punishment was complete loss of citizenship, no ability to hold public office, no ability to hold any right under the Constitution.
Now, the other question I have in relation to that is, the punitive damage or punitive consequences Wouldn't those be high crimes, or wouldn't that be misdemeanor? Because what I understood a misdemeanor to be in the sense of a president or an elected official was a mistake in demeanor. In other words, if you look at a woman with a lustful eye, that was considered to be a misdemeanor at the time that our founding fathers and the founders of our country were writing these documents. They understood that if you any morality, any mistake in your morality, essentially, was considered to be a misdemeanor, unless I'm mistaken. Am I wrong in that?
Technically speaking, a misdemeanor is an injury to another short of serious physical injury or death. That's any crime committed against another individual that is not does not result in serious bodily injury or death. Such a great economic impact that it literally destroys them.
Is that today's definition, or the definition that you thought that you think our founders may have been
in either? Law, that's always been the definition of a misdemeanor.
Okay, all right, that's fine in that sense. Okay, now, so as I say, you know, as I have all these different copies of the pocket constitutions and jurors' rule book, or citizens' rule book, excuse me, and some other government printed. The first one I have actually is a pocket constitution that my elected representative, who was basically useless in every other way, except for the fact that she was able to ship me 200 copies of the pocket constitution.
Absolutely none of them, right?
Of course, and I told her people in the office that. I said, I wish that Lynn Woolsey would have read this constitution, even though she's taken an oath to it, she's never read it. And I'm glad I'm getting all these copies to make sure that people understand that our representatives are not following this document. And our rights don't come from this anyway. Our rights are inherent, as you said already. They're inalienable. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring those things up because, as I say, the other half of the 13th Amendment, as you say, should still be there. I mean, high crimes and misdemeanors, a misdemeanor, a high crime, or treason.
Treason has been specifically defined as a particular range of activity which deals with lending aid and comfort to the enemy or waging war against the country itself. The crime you're actually looking for is sedition, which is the undermining of an established form of government through illegal means.
That's what
they're doing. That's sedition. That's a crime many of them are guilty of on a daily basis.
I was about to say that. That would be in relation to everyone from, I'd say Woodrow Wilson all the way up to the last potentate, if you will. So thank you for taking the time to answer my questions. I appreciate it. And I'll try and listen to your show on Logos, you said, Logos Radio
Network. Yes, sir, LogosRadioNetwork.com.
All righty.
Thank you very much.
Tim, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Grand Scam, the corruption of America. This is the same people that brought you 2016 Obama's America. Who else is in this, if I might ask?
Dave Champion is in there. His information in there is dealing with the federal income tax system and laws and how they're being misused against the people of America. I don't know the full cast of characters in this. We've got a bunch of different people. At one point, I don't know if it's going to be in the movie when it's released or not, but at one point, Danny Glover wanted to be part of the project.
Seriously?
And be interviewed for it. So we've got lots of different people. Some I do know, some I don't know.
Yeah.
But the information that all of them have given to this project is vital to understanding why we've become lost in this country.
Dave Champion used to have a show on this network for several years, and he was a big advocate on guns and so on and so forth. I see we're running out of time here, but I just wanted to make an observation. I see a lot of people that they're running under the banner or the flag of whatever, and their definition of patriotism. And the problem that I've seen is people with military background or police, whatever the case may be, seem to have a different patriotism than the rest of us might have. My patriotism is based in the rule of law, and what law are we dealing with? What makes this regular or even for everybody? And as you pointed out, and I did not know that, Eddie, is that we have, what did you say, of what a nation is, how many different explanations? 26?
26 of United States, yes.
Yeah, 26 different United States. So, you know, we got a long way to go before we free ourselves from the tyranny of the people that want to control. Ronald Reagan said it, and this is on the, again, folks, grandscammovie.com. So suggest you check that out and let people know about it, like it, spread it around. Ronald Reagan said this, and Ronald Reagan was not the bastion of a constitutional CEO, I might add. But every once in a while, he'd come out with some pretty good sayings that were copied down and are repeated, one of which, the founding fathers knew a government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they knew when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. And in microcosm, Eddie, that one short 1 minute and 36 second clip that I played of what to say to a cop when he's standing there trying to get into your itty bitty business pretty much says it all.
Yeah, it's all an understanding. The one thing you need to understand for sure about law enforcement is how they're being trained. Mm-hmm. Every encounter they have with a member of the public is designed for escalation to one of two things, especially if you're in a car. If you are in a car, every stop is geared as a pretextual stop to attempt to escalate that to either a DUI or drug bust. They're trained to do that. That's why they ask you the questions they do. Where you been? Where you going? You got anything in the car you want to tell me about? If I have to search the car and find this, here's this, you're going to be in so much trouble. Just be honest with me now. You had anything to drink today? If so, how many? And so on and so forth.
Right.
That's all they're there for.
And these are guys with the force continuum. As I've put it, just having a polite, nice conversation with you, up to and including using their service weapon and turning your head into human confetti. That's a yep. pretty powerful. That's a pretty powerful range of options that they can use, up to and including death on a private citizen over a damn traffic stop. Amazing.
Yeah, there are. There's an awful lot of things they do that you've got to understand the way they're taught to see it. What you were talking about before about how law enforcement and military have a different perspective. They do. It's not patriotism. It's statism. The state is their idol, their god. If it's not to the benefit of the state, which they pretend to be the benefit of the people, then they're there to ensure you can't do it. Not just to simply be bullies, which is what it turns out to be, but that's the big difference between an actual patriot and a statist. A patriot understands that they do not have the right to compel others to obey their will, except in the realm of do me no harm.
All right.
A statist doesn't realize that.
They're there
to do whatever's written down, whether it's agreeable or not.
We are out of time. Eddie, how do you spell your first name so people will want to do Google search and go to YouTube and hear more of what you have to say?
Eddie.
Eddie Craig, just like it sounds. Eddie, I'm sure we're going to be doing some things here in the future. And I don't know what you think about my idea of a foundation, but it's about damn time we all get together, come to some conclusions, come up with a battle plan, and move on with it.
Well, I agree with it. I've had a concept of my own in mind for that.
All righty. Eddie, thanks again.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Folks, that'll do it for us today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. These are adult conversations we should be having often and more often. Thanks for being here.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.